Today we're going to be looking at Matthew, the fifth chapter, right after the Beatitudes. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' words as he teaches people and as he shares with folks about their calling and helping them to understand a little bit deeper. So I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I don't know where the salt shaker sits in your house. I know where it sits in my house. It sits in a place that I can't find it. Now, some of you may think that that means our dining room table is awful crowded with other things. We do have a salt and a pepper shaker sitting on the dining room table, and I know exactly where they are. The pepper one is full. It's my responsibility to keep the pepper one full. I'm the only one that uses it. Now, the salt one has not had salt in it for over 30 years. My wife took salt away from me when we got married. And it wasn't that exciting, Judy. I do have some problems that I'm not supposed to have much salt. And she took it away from me for that reason, because she says she loves me. And she wants me to live for a good, long time. I do know where the salt is kept in the kitchen, and when I cook, I do cook with salt. Especially if I'm grilling meat or if I'm marinating something, I do use salt. You see, salt has a use in its place. But our whole society uses too much salt along with everything else, all at once, and sometimes to overload. Deanne was recently was going to buy me some bouillon so that I could have some bouillon to drink. And she couldn't buy it for me because she found out one of those little bouillon cubes had 27% of your sodium intake for the day in 8 ounces of drink. That's an awful lot, isn't it? Especially for somebody that hasn't used salt for over 30 years. You see, Jesus uses this as an illustration to help us see something, though. Because salt is good for a purpose. It's good for preserving meat. It is also good for seasoning things. Can't eat it anymore, but boy, to have a wonderful smoked salt-cured ham was one of the best things I could enjoy in my whole life. I can't eat it anymore. Those of you that don't know, I'm allergic to pork. I didn't always used to be. That was one of the things I used to love to cook, was a wonderful smoked salted ham. You see, salt is useful for a purpose, for preserving and enhancing the taste of foods. Now, Jesus talks in this passage, though, about salt that loses its taste. And for us, we look at the salt shaker on the table and we wonder, how does this stuff lose its taste? That doesn't make sense to me. I want you to understand, in Jesus' world, the salt could become contaminated. It could end up having other things in it. It could also end up with some of it evaporating off because of the compounds that they had. They didn't have pure salt to put on the table. You ever been to a restaurant? Maybe I shouldn't say this. But you ever been to a restaurant and you pick up the salt shaker and you look in it and you wonder what else is in it besides salt? Because not everything in that little salt shaker is white. What's that little black thing in there? And what's that piece of... This is what Jesus is talking about, is that salt loses its taste when it becomes contaminated with other elements. When other things are added to it, it loses its taste, it loses its ability to refresh things and make things better, to bring out the flavors in food, once it gets contaminated with other things. And in their day and age, that was easy for that to happen in their houses. You see, Jesus uses this salt illustration for a reason. God's desire is for us to season this world with our eternal values. What we learn from God and what we learn from the teachings of Jesus Christ, God is asking us to use that to season this world. We are to be out there and communicating with people about love and peace and grace and mercy, about comfort. Isn't that things that this world needs? This world needs this greatly. I don't watch the news, but from the little pieces I catch as I get information on my phone about the different news things that are going on, doesn't this world need some eternal values? Amen? It needs eternal values in a great way that, folks, this doesn't matter that much, but this does. There's a lot of folks out there trying to stack up possessions and hopefully live for that great Bible promise that's not there in the Bible, by the way. The one who dies with the most toys wins. That's not in the Bible. That's not an eternal value. But aren't a lot of people pretending like that's an eternal value? You see, what happens is we often allow the world to contaminate us with its values, and then we lose our significance for God. We allow the world to contaminate us with its values, and we lose our significance for God. In many, many ways, church folks aren't any different than every other folks. In many ways, church folks are no different. There are many church folks that, you know, it's okay to lie every once in a while. That's not what the scripture says. The divorce rate amongst Christians is the same percentage as it is among everybody else in society. It's over 50%. Our values have become no different than the values of the world that we live in. We try to accomplish to get the biggest and best things. We try to build the biggest and best churches. We try to do everything by the same values that the world has. And when we do that, we lose our significance for God. Now, I'm not going to be an advocate for doing as Jesus Christ did. You know, he never had a home. He traveled from place to place, but he did not have a house of his own. Sometimes I think that should make us think a little bit in what we have and how we've identified with the world's values. It's tough and it's hard, and I know that. I'm aware of that, and I battle that every day, just as all of us do. But you see, when we allow the world's values to become part of our value system as a Christian, we're no longer significant for God in this world. We're to be salt. We're to be out there seasoning this world with our eternal values. We're to be out there letting people know how much God loves them. The second illustration that Jesus uses here in this passage is about light. Light's meant to illuminate its surroundings, not to be gazed upon. Light is meant to illuminate its surroundings, not to be gazed upon. You ever look straight into a flashlight? And the first thing you do is, well, that wasn't very brilliant. You ever look straight into the sun? I never have. My mommy told me you ain't supposed to do that. You go blind if you look straight into the sun, is what my mom told me, right? We don't look straight into light, but we use light to illuminate the surroundings. And Jesus goes to say, look, when you build a city up on top of a hill, it's not to hide it. And we all should go, well, yeah, we know that. And he says, you don't take this light and put it up underneath a bowl or a basket or hide it up underneath something, do you? That's not what light's meant for. Light is meant to illuminate its surroundings, not to be gazed upon. So as we walk out in the midst of this world, our lives should illuminate what is happening around us, not pointing to us. Our light should illuminate what's happening around us, not point to us. Now, I know that this struggles against what Hollywood teaches us, right? Hollywood teaches us that light is for what? To illuminate how great I am. If you don't believe me, just watch some of the stuff that's coming out of Hollywood currently. It's about how great I am and how wonderful I can be. You see, we should be out in the world with our eternal values, illuminating what's happening around us so that people can see that God is reaching out to them. People can see that God is trying to love them. People can see the salvation that God wants to bring into the midst of this world. That's what being the light is about. And that's why Jesus says, look, we don't build a town on top of a hill and try to hide it. We build a town on top of the hill for everybody to see. Verse 16 is a verse that I memorized as a young Christian, and I would encourage you to do the same. Jesus, in talking about this light, says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, I hope you temper this a little bit. It's not about going out and showing how good you are, how wonderful you can be, how exciting you can be, and all the good stuff that you do. That's not what Jesus is saying. Remember what the light is for. The light is to illuminate what's going on around us, not to illuminate us, not to point to us. But the light is to illuminate what's happening. Jesus says, let people see your good deeds. Not so you can go, look what I did. With it so that people could say, look at what God has done in the midst of this world. And I'm going to glorify God because of it. Because any good that I do only comes from God, not from me. By birth, I'm a sinner. And some days I live up to that. And some days we struggle with that, don't we? But Jesus says, let people see your good works. Let them notice what's happening. Let them notice what's going on. Now, this does not struggle against the scripture that says you're not saved by good works. This is not over and against that. This is just saying that when you do things, let people see it. Let people know about it, so that they can understand the incredible power of God. So that they can see. Remember what I shared with you last week? How many remember? I'm trying to remember. There's only so much room up here, okay? I'll be honest with you. You come Monday morning sometime and ask me what I preached on Sunday morning, and I might go, yeah. Because there's only so much room up here, and I got to move some of that out to make room for something else. But last week I preached to you about it's God's power that lives through us. Amen? It's not us. It's God's power that lives through us. And God chooses the weakest. God chooses the most unwise people to be part of God's kingdom. We should never forget that. Because then the power of God is seen in a tremendous way when the good works come through us. Look at what God has done in the world. Look at how God has lived in the midst of this world. So our lives should illuminate what's happening around us, not point to us. And the good deeds which are illuminated display the God who is at work in this world. They show where God is at work in this world when they live through us. So folks, I ask you, are you salty enough? Are you salty enough, and do you have light enough in your life? Now, back where I grew up, if I asked somebody if they were salty, that was not always a compliment. You're one of them old salty sailors, which really meant they were down to earth, which really meant that they were just people who lived their life. Sometimes we don't think of that as the best. But I'm asking you, are you salty? Or have you absorbed so many of the world's values that your salt is only good for being thrown out now? Are you that salt shaker that's got all them little black specks in it? And how about your light? Is the very light of God shining through you? Or have you hidden it somewhere? Because you're afraid of what people might see and then what they might say about you. You see, it's completely different what Jesus calls us to do, isn't it? Go out and season this world with salt. And display the light so that people can see what's happening. Let them see your good works so that then they will glorify your Father in heaven. It's not about being saved by the works. It's about letting people see what God's doing in the midst of this world. So I leave you with this question. Does your saltiness need to be cleansed? Or your light set up high to brighten the area around you? Does your saltiness need to be cleansed? Or does your light need to be set up higher? For years now, when I have done baptisms, I always share these two illustrations. That when I raise somebody up out of the water, I talk about these two illustrations that Jesus gives. And there sitting in front of me is a plate with a candle on it and salt on the plate. And I always take my finger and dip it in the salt and touch it to the people's lips that I baptize so that they can taste salt and know what Jesus is saying to us. And then the second thing I do is I take one of those candles, like the candles you got a few weeks ago, and I physically light it off of the candle there, and I hand it to them, and I tell them, take this with you and be the light of the world. It's a souvenir for them to keep when they're baptized. Y'all that were here a few weeks ago, you got a candle. It's your decision on whether you're going to light the candle or not. We didn't light it for you purposefully. It's your decision. Are you going to be salt? And are you going to be light? Because that's what this world needs. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes these illustrations are scary. And sometimes we're not sure that we want to be salt and light. We'd rather hide in the corner. We'd rather not let anybody see that we're any different than them. Matter of fact, sometimes we'll walk along with them, not letting them know. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us to examine our own saltiness. That you would help us to examine where we've placed our light. Is it set in the back corner of our house for us to go and visit and spend time with and be excited that we're saved? Or is it out on the front porch so that people can see it? Lord, help us. Because we know we need your help. And deep down, we know what you're calling us to do. So give us the courage. Give us the boldness. Give us the excitement. Inspire us in tremendous ways to spread salt everywhere we go and to shine the light that people may come to know Jesus Christ as we have. In his name we pray.